So Thay says, the bell is the voice of the Buddha calling us back to our home. So we'll listen to the bell. So bring to mind a story about yourself. A story that you believe about yourself. Could be based on a value, an experience from childhood, on a fear. Could be a story of lack or limitation. Could be an attachment to some aspect of your identity. Your skills, your talents, your physical abilities or lack of abilities, your relationships. Just bring a story to mind. And then just begin to breathe some space into and around that story. Begin to look at it carefully in its component parts, breaking it down into parts. And then begin to see the parts of this story sort of disconnect from each other. See them sort of scattering around, losing their coherence. Kind of like old bones scattered on the ground. Can you find any piece of the story that is uniquely you, that represents and speaks for your true self, that is big enough and spacious enough to reflect all of you? Become aware that all your stories, all your personal identification is like this. That it's possible to hold all these stories and beliefs a little more lightly. And that your experience of life becomes not less but more when you do this. When you let go, you open to the full potential in yourself and in this moment. You bring your full awareness to the miracles just waiting for you to show up and enjoy. So that's just a little taste of how you might work this week with those top 10 stories. Just kind of examine, bring that curious, kind awareness to those stories. Once again, I have too much material here, so I'm going to keep going. I wanted to share a quote with you by a woman named Patricia Hampel, who is a memoirist and who teaches memoir writing. She says, memoirists, unlike fiction writers, do not really want to tell a story. They want to tell it all. The all of personal experience, of consciousness itself. That includes a story, but also the whole expanding universe of sensation and thought that flows beyond the confines of narrative and proves every life to be not only an isolated storyline, but a bit of the cosmos spinning and streaming into the great ungraspable pattern of existence. Memoirists wish to tell their mind, not their story. So that's what we're aiming for. So because our perceptions are the result of mental habits, they can be trained. Right? So those moments of stillness are an antidote to that. You know, they bring us back to the clarity of the moment. It's said that a person on average has 17,000 thoughts a day. So one way is, can we see these thoughts? We're not trying to lessen them or repress them. What we're trying to do is to see them as a waterfall of thoughts, a waterfall of energy, and not this clinging part that makes us them uniquely us. So with mindfulness, we can use mindfulness in two ways to help cure us of this attachment to perceptions. One is we use that investigative awareness that we've been developing and cultivating to go much more closely into what's really going on here. And then the other way is we step back and we become the witness and we identify less with it, like, you know, instead of I'm hungry, oh, there's sensation in the stomach happening. We reframe it and take that I out of it. Both of the things, both of those ways help us to see what's really happening. So if our mind is prone to aversion or irritation, we can train ourselves to perceive the good in people. You know, we can do metta. We can actively look for the good, consciously retrain that pattern, because that's the antidote. And if we're prone to grasping, looking, always seeing the attractive nature of something, we can look to its dissolution. You know, oh, what's that piece of cake going to look like after 4 hours of my eating it? you know, so we find the antidote for whatever our tendency is that causes those fetters, those knots to arise. And it's important to know and remember that our awareness is already free. Our mind is already completely free and relaxed. You know, we have these patterns that are kind of covering up, but we're not trying to change the essence of ourselves. This is not a self-improvement project where we're trying to become something different. Freedom is already present. Mind is already peaceful. Relaxation is already here. The antidote to getting caught up in these sense impressions and these stories is to relax. So you can think of the relaxing as sitting and having a cup of tea, looking out the window. Just that state of in between, nowhere to go, nothing to do. That's the way that we get to peace. It's not by struggling more, working harder, you know. Attention is relaxed and still and very clear. You know, it means our minds are very clear and alert. We think relaxed means laziness. It's not. Relaxed is alert and clear. Our attention is all present. It's one-pointed. So that we have our whole self here in the moment available. So here's a little metaphor I like. Alan Wallace did this. He's talking about shamatha, which is our practice of stopping and healing. Stopping, calming, resting, healing, transforming. And he says it's like an all-terrain vehicle with five gears. And this is really important to remember, that we practice in a way that's appropriate for us, for the quality of our body and our mind in the moment. You know, this keeps us from saying, well, I'd really like to meditate, but I can't right now because I'm too distracted, or I'm this, or I'm too tired, or whatever. There's always a way to come back to this practice. And so he says, you shift the gears up and down according to the quality of your mind and your body at the moment. And so there's not one better than another. So the first one is usually a lying down meditation, you know, where you relax your body and you're just releasing tension. And at the same time, you can be releasing those internal knots, those fetters, just by relaxing your body and bringing your loving kindness to your body. So it's a full body awareness practice. That's first gear. And the second gear can be done lying down or in sitting. And it's just focusing on grounding in the earth element, bringing ourselves present to this moment, to focus and enter the flow of awareness. Sometimes I just use counting. If I'm very distracted, I just count my breaths, and it helps to ground me. And then the third gear, going a little faster, sitting meditation, feeling balanced, practicing mindfulness of breathing, cultivating relaxation, stability, and alertness. Brings a vivid awareness. Then the fourth gear is sitting meditation, feeling refreshed, bright, and clear. Settling the mind in its natural state, letting the breath and the awareness become more subtle. Tapping into those impulses, the beginning of those thoughts and feelings. And then the fifth gear, sitting, feeling clear and composed, practicing awareness of awareness. And that's that place where that Japanese nun talked about letting go of knowing, the knowing that she was knowing. We just let that go. So we practice just being aware of our mind consciousness. So we're going to do just a short meditation in fifth gear. We're assuming that we're all like speeding over the sand dunes in our all-terrain vehicle, nothing in our way. And you may not be there, but as I heard a monk say, there's a percentage of you that's there. So you can just tap into that percentage of you and have this experience as much as you can. Let's start with one bell. And following your breath, become fully present to your mind and body. And when a thought arises, just notice it and let go of it. Instead, just continuing to be aware that you are aware, that you are conscious. You can heighten your awareness that you are conscious of that thought and then let it go. Just relax and rest in the awareness that you're aware. When you point the finger of your mind at something, directing and focusing your attention, you'll come up with a sign. Be aware of the sense base, the object, and the consciousness arising. Be aware of the fetter associated with it, craving, aversion, or delusion. Everything comes from the six sense bases, their objects, and consciousnesses. So all our preferences are created and exist there. Watch carefully for distinctions and preferences in the mind. Now practice without a sign, which means retracting your finger, your attention. Rest your awareness in its own space that precedes any directionality. Let it illuminate its own nature. Practice the mind of non-clinging, of non-craving. Drop back into openness. With all mental processes dormant, what remains is a naturally pure, undefiled state. The ultimate task of shamatha is the full activation of the mind's radiant potential. And here's a quote from our third patriarch. The great way is not difficult for those who have no preferences. When like and dislike are both absent, everything becomes clear and undisguised. Make the smallest distinction, however, and heaven and earth are set infinitely apart. To set up what you like against what you don't like is the disease of the mind. So we start by being aware of our preferences. So our homework for next time is the last exercise, sowing seeds of peace, which is one of the seven factors of awakening. And it occurs to me that maybe I should send you all of the factors so that you can practice with them over the week, which I can do. If anyone has a Plum Village chant book, they're in the chant book, but I know many of you don't, so I'll send you the seven factors of awakening.
In this book?
They're not in that book, no. They're not. Not specifically. I mean, there's parts and pieces, but not laid out.